Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we're going to read verses 19 through 27 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 27. After we're done reading, I'll pray, and then you'll be seated. This morning, there is no special, so I'm going to jump right into the sermon this morning, as soon as we're done reading and praying this morning. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 27. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the twelve, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And let's finish on verse 27 together. Ready? Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you. I pray that you bless the preaching of the Word of God. Would you help these, your people? Would you please, Lord, if there's one today not sure of heaven, help them to become sure. But, Lord, I pray that all of us would be able to further your kingdom because of what is preached today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you will listen to me this morning, and again, I am going to preach part one this morning, and I'm going to preach part two tonight. It's a two-part sermon, and I think it's a very vital truth. In a growing church, you have to understand something. We have constantly have new people coming to our church that don't understand certain things about church and Christianity. By the way, that's a good problem to have, amen? That's the sign of a growing church. Now, for some of you, this is your first Sunday, or you're new to things. And I don't know how to say this. I am by far not the greatest preacher in the whole world. But I'm not one of these sissy britches preachers, and I'm not one of these guys got lace on my underwear that's afraid to say anything. We just got to tell it plain like it is, and I believe in that. So you'll have to put up with a little toughness as I teach, but I'm going to preach a sermon this morning and tonight called What's the Purpose of the Church Anyway? What's the purpose of the church anyway? And I think, I was telling Brother Stoltz this morning, we live in such a generation that is so unchurched. People do not understand church. Now, anybody in this room, probably 45, 50 years old or older, that statement is foreign to you. Anybody under the age of 30, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our generation is so unchurched, they don't know anything about behavior in church. They don't really know what church is. If they do, generally, it's a denominational situation and not a New Testament Baptist church, not a real church. And they've been fed so much TV doctrine and unsaved doctrine from the evil world and denominationalism. And I want to help you today understand what in the world is the purpose of the church anyway? Everybody smile. I love you. Here we go. I am sick and tired of the world, the liberals, the God haters, and the atheists telling us that only weak people need church. Why do they think that they're superior and stronger than God and Christianity? Who made them the authority? How have they become the authority? These are the same people that are addicted to drugs, alcohol, live like animals, sodomites, and dress wearing less than is legal, and they say that we need the crutch called a church. They complain about us Christians, listen to this statement, you're just trying to legislate morality, when they're the very ones that are legislating immorality. Everybody doing all right? God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. There was a day when a lady dressed like a lady and he didn't have to wonder what it was. There was a day when a man dressed like a man and he didn't have to wonder what it was. And by the way, when you were plumb for a boy or plumb for a girl, you knew what you were. There was no gender neutrality, and we have to wait until you're a teenager to decide what you are. Uh-uh. It doesn't work that way. Here we go. Hang on. There was a day when we are considered now weak because we believe young people ought to make it to the marriage altar pure, chaste virgins. By the way, that's not a bad word. That is a good word. Every young person ought to come to this altar clean, pure, chaste, and virgin. Keep your cotton picking hands off each other. That's translated from the Greek. Amen. They say, well, that can't be done. Guess what? It can be. It is no harder today than it was when God said it 7,000 years ago. It's no harder. Now listen to me. Oh, you just have unlivable disciplines in Christianity. That can't be done. Those are the same people that believe in murdering babies called abortion. They don't believe in modesty, they don't believe in purity, but they do believe in murdering babies. And they say, we're the weak ones. Everybody doing okay? We're weak because God says it's wrong to do drugs, booze, alcohol, tobacco, and those such things. But they're strong because they think Obamacare works. We're weak because we believe in a strong work ethic, and if you don't work, you don't eat. But their welfare philosophy is bankrupting the world. Now, listen to me very carefully. I believe a church is a place to get help. We'll talk about that. But God says we're supposed to work. We are supposed to work. I told my wife before we got married, I said, honey, you are about to marry a man that is going to do something probably nobody else wants to, but I just believe this is what I'm supposed to do. And I asked the Lord over 25 years ago, well, over 26 years ago, I asked God to let me do the work of two men in the ministry. I can't tell you that I've accomplished it, but I'm trying. I'm trying. Say why? Because we got a bunch of men out there that aren't doing the work of one man. Somebody's got to make up the hedge. I believe in working and working hard. I believe in a strong work ethic. I was so happy. I told my wife, told my daughter. My daughter was laughing last night. I picked her up from work. I said, it was so cool. I pulled out of the parking lot with 12 men in a church van this morning to go to Cabela's. I had 7 pickup trucks in the church lot. Amen. I was so happy. I said, this is a man's church. And it's for ladies too, but I'm glad we got tough men. Amen. And not a one of those trucks wasn't dirty. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I would rather trust in the word of God and Jehovah God than Miley Cyrus, Madonna, Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, or anybody else in the world. They call us weak. They're the weak ones. Everybody doing all right? These are the people that say, trust Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi over the Bible. I'd rather trust my 10-month-old beagle. They call us weak. You know, I believe in trusting the organization of the church by the word of God over government and greed any day. I believe in trusting the King James Bible over Hollywood any day. I'll trust the word of God over any musician star in the world. Miley Cyrus illegally doing drugs while she performs, and most of the time not wearing anything. Oh, we let our kids flock to that garbage. And they call us weak. They're living like a bunch of barnyard animals, and they say we're the weak ones. Everybody doing all right? Now listen to me. I'd rather trust in Jehovah God than Muhammad, Buddha, any statue, or any other false god this world has to put out there. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not wrong for what I believe. But even if I am, the world would be a better place if we believed what that book said. I am not wrong. I know what I am preaching is truth, right, and it's real. But even if I were not, can I tell you something? The world would be a better place if we lived this way. The church is a very interesting place. The church is not just an assembly of people with similar ideas and purpose. There's such a thing called a state assembly. If you went to Charleston, beginning part of the year, January, February, there's about 4, 5, 6 weeks of the state assembly getting together, all of the state legislatures and state representatives and state senators get together with the governor, and they plow through legislation, and that's called the state assembly. It's not the state church. So just assembling a group of people, you could go to Baltimore and see 30,000 people at Camden Yards today. That's an assembly of people, but it's not a church. The word church is a compound word. It's a Greek word. It is the word ekklesia. The word ek meaning out and klesio meaning to call. It's an assembly that has been called out. A church is a called out assembly. I almost baptized the pulpit with a glass of water. Amen. Now, listen to me. It had to be Methodist style, though. That means, listen to this statement. A church is an assembly of people who have been called out from one place and come together in another place. Now listen to this. This means to be called out, you first had to be a part of another group. Guess what? My Bible says, come out from the world and be ye separate. That means when you come to church, you're leaving the world, leaving the world's philosophy. I'm not talking about Lost in Space, Danger Will Robinson. I'm talking about you're actually leaving the world's structure. You're leaving what they believe behind, and you're entering into a place that's been called out to rally behind the Word of God. Just because you came out of the world doesn't mean you're part of the church. You have to leave the world to come to the church. By the way, that's why we're not supposed to bring the world into the church. We are supposed to be different from the world. Hey, look around. It's different from the world. Now, listen to me very carefully. That means your boat cannot be a church. Your tree stand cannot be a church. You might be separate from the world, but you're not a called out assembly. Well, I'm assembling with just me and God. Well, I can pray in my tree stand. I've prayed a lot in my tree stand. Oh, God, bring him. No, I prayed a lot. Just because you pray somewhere doesn't make it church. Just because you praise God somewhere doesn't make it church. Everybody doing all right? Just because you love on God somewhere does not make it church. It is to leave one group and to enter another group of people. Now, hold on to your hat. The church is not a place of worship. Go back about 2 months, I preached a whole sermon about worship. Worship is denominational. Public worship in the Bible only happened by false believers. You won't find one public worship service to God in that book. Worship is telling God how great He is. It's loving on God. That's what worship is. Everybody doing all right? Worship is not coming to church and praying and singing and all those things. That is not worship. We've allowed denominationalism. We've allowed Catholicism. We've allowed formalism to tell us, well, church is a house of worship. No, it's not. It's the house of God. It is the house of God. Now, listen to me. The church is not a social club with a spiritual twist. It's not a country club for Jesus. I'm going to say it. It's not the living room. Just come as you are and let's jam for Jesus in your jammies. Drop dead. It is the house of God. It is the house of God. It is not a holy place. As far as the Old Testament temple. But it is a place where we come out from the world, gather together, and learn about the Word of God, about God, so we can go back to our homes, back to the world, live our life like God wants us to live. Everybody doing all right? The church is not a place of community service as an alternative to punishment. Don't get me wrong. Church is a hospital, but it's not a welfare center. Now, I have more points than I can give you this morning, but I'm going to give you the first half this morning and the second half tonight of what God says a church really is. All right, here we go. Point number one. The church is the one thing you can join that Jesus started. The church is the only thing you can join that Jesus started. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. According to Ephesians 5:23, it says, Christ, who is the head of the church. Did you know when you join a New Testament Baptist church, you're joining the only institution that Jesus started? By the way, all believers do not make up this invisible, ethereal church. Pray tell me, how can my friends in New Jersey at Central Baptist Church or up in Maine at Lighthouse Baptist Church, how can we all be part of an invisible church? We're not all together. Church is a called out assembly. And until the rapture takes place, there is no such thing as a universal church because not all believers have been called out together. Say, well, how do you know it was a Baptist church? Who baptized Jesus? A guy named John the... It didn't say John the Catholic. It's 300 plus years before there ever was a Catholic church. Didn't say John the Methodist. It was 1,700 years before there was a Methodist church, a Wesley. It wasn't Lutheran 1,700 years before there was a Martin Luther. Everybody doing all right? Baptist was not John's last name. That was his position. Everybody doing all right? You know, I think you're just too much of a realist. Thank you very much. By the way, To be a part, and I'm going to make a statement here, you should join a local church. Just showing up isn't joining. You're supposed to join officially. Get your name on the membership. You say, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you have to get saved. You have to know for sure you're going to heaven. If you've been saved before, great. But if you don't know for sure you're going to die and go to heaven, you need to get that settled. All right? Second of all, you're supposed to be baptized by immersion. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and the same day they were baptized to the church. The same day the Lord added to the church 3,000 souls. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
That means if you've been saved but you've never been baptized, to be a member of the church, you've got to get baptized by immersion. You say, well, I used to be a Methodist and they poured it on my head, or I was a Catholic, and Brother Stoltz, come up here, and some holy father took fingers in holy water and then spritzed it on my face. I was a baby when they did it. Can I tell you something? You're not going to heaven because of baptism. Baptism has nothing to do with going to heaven. It has everything to do with your obedience. Baptism is like my wedding ring. And since I got a new one, I can get it off. If I don't wear my wedding ring, I'm still married, aren't I? Guess what? Everybody knows I'm married because I wear it. That's what baptism is. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what it took to get you saved, and you're identifying with him, and it's an act of obedience. That's all it is. So first of all, you have to be saved. Second of all, you have to be baptized. You say, well, I've been saved and baptized before in another church. Great. Then you can join by transfer of membership. I have joined several churches because of me being in the ministry, being around different parts of the country. And the first thing I did, I transferred my membership. My daughter is leaving for college in August when she goes to Lexington. And the first Sunday, she's in college and at church. She's been instructed, you walk the aisle and join Brother Fugit's church. He becomes your pastor while you're there. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because you need to be a member of a local church. A local church. I was talking to one of my boys this week. I said, what'd your preacher say? He said, well, I didn't talk to him yet, Dad. That's why I called you. I said, I'm not your pastor. Go talk to your pastor. Whew. He said, but Dad, I said, I'll talk to his dad, but not your pastor. I said, you need to go see your preacher about this. Everybody doing all right? I live that just so you know. I think you're supposed to join the local church that's feeding you. Everybody doing all right? Say, well, I've been saved and baptized, but it's been so long ago since I've been a member of church. I don't even remember what the church was or anything. Something called Christian Experience. And we'll accept you that way. All right? All that said and done. You say, well, how do I join? Real easy. In a little while, we'll have an invitation. We'll stand. The music will play. You walk down the aisle, and we'll talk to you and make sure, A, you're saved. B, that you've been baptized by immersion. If you haven't, we can take care of it today. The water's warm. Got all you need. And if you've been through all that and you want to transfer your membership or come by Christian Experience, we can take care of that today. We'll put your name on the card and let everybody know that you want to join the church. We'll say, amen, you're in. Amen. That's how simple it is. By the way, that's foreign to most folks. You don't have to sit through 30 weeks of classes. We're not going to put you through 6 weeks of training classes before you get baptized. Jesus said in the book of Acts they were baptized the same day they got saved. Well, I don't think they understand everything about baptism. I've been preaching for 34 years and don't understand it all. God didn't tell me to understand it all. He told me to obey. I didn't look at my dad as a child and him tell me to go take the trash out. And I didn't say, well, I need to go to class for 3 weeks so you can explain to me why I should do this. He learned me in a real hurry. Amen. I found out you just obey. And when you obey God, it's amazing what happens. Now, I have to hurry. Point number two. The church was started for comfort. The church was started for the comfort of Christians. I'm not talking about your physical comfort necessarily. Look at verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Stop right there. First day of the week. Anybody my age or older understands the first day of the week is not Monday. First day of the week is Sunday. Modern technology and modern atheists have tried to call Sunday part of the weekend. Sunday is the first day of the week. Up until 5 years ago, every calendar starts, if you notice, with Sunday. Sunday through Saturday. Computer era, they've moved it, and now it's Monday through Sunday. But if you look at a real calendar, it starts always with Sunday. Say why? Because Sunday is the first day of the week. By the way, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Sabbath is the last day, the seventh day, which is Saturday. And in the Old Testament, they observed the Sabbath. Jesus came, fulfilled all the Sabbaths. He started his church on Sunday, the first day of the week. Everybody doing all right? It says here, on the first day of the week, they were assembled together. They were having church and Jesus showed up. How'd you like to have church and have Jesus walk in? Amen? Just so you know, his Holy Spirit's here. He's in the body of every believer. Now, the church was started for comfort. Now watch this. Verse 19, then the same day, at evening, by the way, they had night church. Notice this was night church. I'm going to show you something about it in a minute here. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Man, they had just crucified Jesus. This is just days after Jesus' resurrection. This is about a week after the resurrection. And they were still assembled. They were assembling for fear that they were going to be killed next. Jesus shows up and said, fellas, let me comfort you. Peace be unto you. By the way, the rest of this part of the story that we read, the Bible says Thomas was not there. What is Thomas known for? We call him what Thomas? He said, I don't believe it was Jesus. I wasn't there. I don't believe it. I don't believe anybody got up out of the grave. And if I don't see it, if I don't put my finger in the hole in his hand, if I don't take my hand and shove it in the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And I'll tell you why it happened, because he missed night church. Everybody doing all right? If he'd been at church where he was supposed to, he wouldn't doubted it. All right. Got that off my chest. Jesus met the disciples at church hours before Calvary on a midweek. If you went to John chapter 13 and chapter 14, find out they were doing the Lord's Supper. Do you know what one of the ordinances of the New Testament church is? One is baptism and the other is Lord's Supper. And they were assembled in an upper room. They were in an auditorium or a fellowship hall and they were at church. Everybody doing all right? Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, and he resurrected on a Sunday. Now, everybody smile. It's not pick on everybody else day, but I sure do enjoy it. Pray tell me how the Catholics can tell you Jesus was crucified on Good Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and there's 3 days and three nights. There are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday morning. It's impossible. Everybody doing all right? He was crucified on a Wednesday, resurrected on a Sunday morning. Now, I have a whole sermon I preached a year ago Easter. Go back and listen to it. It explains it all. I'm not going to go into it, but just trust me, they can't count. Now, that's why we have church on Wednesday night and on Sunday. First day of the week and the midweek in honor of Christ's crucifixion. Now, the church is a place, is to be a place where we dispel our fears from the world. Did you know it's a proven fact those that go to a church are healthier than those that do not? Do you know most of you came crawling in, didn't feel good? Did you get to church and everything feels a little bit better? Now, it didn't take it all away, but you can feel a little better. Can I tell you why? The fears of the world are being dispelled by being called out of the world back to church. your financial problems aren't going to change because you came to church necessarily, but the pressure of the financial problems that you face can be alleviated by coming to church, learning the Word of God, going back out, using biblical principle to help you get rid of those financial problems. Did you know when you take a strong stand for the Word of God, people don't like your insides? I told a couple guys yesterday, my morning started yesterday about 5 o'clock. I got an email that was quite disturbing. It was borderline terroristic. I mean, it was rough. Say, did you respond? I said, yeah. Lord, help this idiot. They cussed me out. Cussed God out. Cussed our church out. I couldn't even begin to say what was in there. It was violent. It was nasty. Say, what did you do? The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Say, does it bother you? The only part of it that bothered me was that's such a waste of a life. I asked God to help them and get them right. I was bothered for them, not bothered because of the attack. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you think it's going to change anything I did? It only puts more drive in me to do more. They think they're tearing me down. They're building me up. Say why? Because I go to church and get picked back up. Amen? Amen. Go out there and kick the old devil right square in the teeth again. Do you know when you come to church, you learn about your future and your future life and death? You know, you don't have to be afraid to die.
That's right.
Now, I'm not ready to jump in front of the next bullet, just so you know. But you know what? I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of eternity. Amazing how freaked out people are about dying. All the weird things they believe. They're going to come back as a flower. Then they're going to come back as a bug. Now, I want to come back, but I'm coming back on a white horse with Jesus. Amen. I'm not coming back as a bug or a flower or a cow or a camel or anything else. I'm not going there. People who come to church not only learn how to be comforted, but you also learn how to comfort others. So church is a place of comfort. Comfort, I must hurry. Number two, the church is a place of encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Say, why? Because people often miss the comfort they need by not being at church. So it is a place where you get the encouragement that you need to face another day. Can I tell you something? I love Sunday night church. But I really love Wednesday night church. We all come crawling in here. We've been beat up at the world and at the office and where we work on Monday and Tuesday and all day Wednesday. We come crawling in here, find out something about the Word of God, and we walk out. This place is buzzing. I mean, it's just electrifying. You say, why? Because you came to church, you left all the problems of the world, you left the discouragement of the world, you left the news of the world, you left all the negativity of the world, came in here, learned something about the never-dying Word of God, got pumped back up to go back out and make it another few days. You see, there is a special encouragement that comes to those in church. The Bible says that He will quicken you by the Word of God. He'll fill you with life. Did you ever notice the lost world's dying? Oh, people are starving. Oh, people are overweight. Oh, we're going to not have any money. We're going to bankrupt. And oh, Medicaid or Medicare won't be there. And oh, we're going to have this problem. And there's not enough clean water. And the world's going to burn up in global warming. You know, they only talk about that in the summer. We're running out of water. Did you know that 80% of all the rain that falls in California falls right back into the ocean because California won't let them stop the rainwater? It is a man-made drought that they have in California right now to make more money off the residents of California. they're only allowed to capture 20% of the rainwater that falls. The rest of it runs right back out into the ocean. And they wonder why they have a problem. Everybody doing all right? This is a place where you come to get encouraged by the man of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Now, every once in a while, my dad used the word encouragement, and I didn't think it was encouragement. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes encouragement means a little bit of fear. Son, let me encourage you. You go split that wood, or you and I are going to have a powwow. I'll pow, you wow. And then you're still going to go out and split the wood. Might as well pow on the wood than get powed on, amen? He was encouraging me. Every once in a while, encouragement is a little bit of in the seat, amen? It's a place to learn. Did you know Sunday school is a place to come learn the Word of God so it's a little bit more practical? I believe in helping people even a little socially with Sunday school. That's why we have breakfast and that's why we get together. Man, Sunday school is a little bit more informal. Say why? Because it's more teaching, more practicality, learning the Word of God. By the way, church is a place where the ground's level at the cross. James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Guess what? Did you know if you came in and you're poor as Job's turkey, you're just as welcome as somebody that's a millionaire? If you're a millionaire, come by my office afterwards. No, it doesn't matter how much money you got in your wallet. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank account. Doesn't matter how big, how small your house is, whether you own one, rent one. Doesn't matter what style car you drive, how fancy. Doesn't matter how poor. By the way, we're not going to cater to any. I told somebody this week, when Jesus went fishing, he threw out nets. He didn't throw out an angling line. When you throw out a net, you're catching everything. That's what a church is. We let down the nets. Amen? Yeah. We're going to pull a whole draw in. You say, well, are you getting the specialty fish? I'll catch anything in that net that'll stay in it. Amen? God said, go out and get them all. Yes, red and yellow, black and white. Smart, dumb, like Brother Stoltz. It doesn't matter whether you're a Polack or an Italian. Doesn't matter if you're Mexican, Puerto Rican. Doesn't matter if you're white. Doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't care. He said, assemble yourselves together. This is a place everything's level. Yes. I'm not El Papa. Yeah. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal speaking ex cathedra in the place of God. No, I'm God's man proclaiming his book, and I am no better than you. I'm a sinner just like you. Everybody doing all right? All right. So by the way, social status doesn't matter. 30 seconds. There was a wealthy person, family that came a couple years ago to our church. Oh, when are you putting stained glass in? We've been in some of the greatest cathedrals of Europe, and boy, there's such beautiful churches with all the stained glass. You really felt like you were in church. She didn't like the response I gave her. I said the only thing that reminded them of God was the stained glass, because the presence of God wasn't there. We don't need stained glass. Amen. We've seen more people saved in a church that has no stained glass than all those churches with stained glass put together. Everybody doing all right? I've had 2,000 people saved with no stained glass. It's working. Why change it? Boy, that was good. By the way, church is a place where it's encouraging because there's no gossip going on. You keep your cotton picking gossip to yourself. It's evil. It's wrong. It doesn't encourage. It tears apart. It kills. It takes life. It doesn't give life. And I must hurry. Point number 4. So it was started for comfort. It was a place of encouragement. It was the only thing that you can join that Jesus started. And number 4, my last point, church is a place you're supposed to give your tithe. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I knew you were going to get the money, preacher. Yeah, you did. Here we go. I'll hit it and run. Verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store by him, or lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. First day of the week. When is that? Sunday. Talking about churches. Now, I realize not everybody gets paid and you can give each Sunday. But what it's saying here is when you're at church, you're supposed to give your tithes and your offerings. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking you for your obedience to God. The only way the church doors stay open is if God's people give by God's plan. The only way we can go out and reach more people is if we all obey God in our giving. By the way, we, me, you, all of us. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. You're supposed to tithe on your gross. Tithe on your increase. It says, of all thine increase. Everybody doing all right? This is how God's work gets cared for. The reason this is really the first time, other than we gave a little extra offering for something else, it's the only time I've asked you to give anything extra is to buy that bus out there. Can I tell you why? We didn't raise extra money for the carpet. Didn't raise extra money for the chairs. We were just all being obedient in our giving, and we were able to do it out of the tithes of the church. That's how it's supposed to be. Now we have an extra thing, so we need an offering. But you don't give your tithe for an offering. You can't give an offering till you've tithed. Or, as a friend of mine used to say, till you tithied. Couldn't pronounce it, amen? Now, it is a way for you. By the way, your tithe isn't supposed to go to the radio preacher. Or the televangelist that needed $60 million for his airplane. The only thing that bothers me is how stupid people are, and he raised the money. He got all the money he needed. And yet, I'm a money grabber if I tell you you're supposed to obey God with your tithing. I'm not buying an airplane. I'm not doing anything. Come by my house. I don't live. Many of you live in a much bigger, fancier house than mine. I don't care. I'm content with what God gave me. I'm doing fine. God's good to me. Amen. But I believe in obeying God. By the way, if everybody did their part, and that's what we're supposed to do, guess what? There'd be no lack. I'm going to go ahead and say this. America would be a whole lot better off if we got rid of the IRS tax structure and went to a flat tax. Whether you make $100 or you make $100 million, everybody pays the same percentage. You get rid of all the tax hidings and cover-ups and everything else. Whatever you make, you pay a certain percentage of. And by the way, it would solve America's economic problem, just so you know. Okay, moving on. The tithe was a way to be obedient to God and keep his work going. It was a way for God to bless you. According to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, he said, if you'll tithe, he said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Storehouse is the church. Watch this. He said, then I can pour out a blessing on you and I will withhold the destroyer from you. Whew. There's enough destruction of our finances. I want the blessing of God and I want the withholding of the destroyer. Amen. Yes, folks, we're weak by the world's standards. But they're the ones all messed up, not us. Church is not a place for weaklings. Now, I'm done with the major points, but I want to tell you something. And you're going to hear this part again because it's the end of the sermon, but some of you won't be back tonight, so I've got to give it to you. Now, you'll know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, good day. I want you to notice something. Now listen to this statement. Jesus did not start a synagogue. Jesus did not start a temple. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. There is a difference in a church and a temple and a synagogue. Those are three totally different entities. A synagogue was a denominational religious governing headquarters. It was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. It was the, what do you call that place in Italy and Rome? Oh, the Vatican, that's it. Where the fat guy with the pointed hat lives. Not the Keebler Elf either, but it's close. That is a synagogue. It was a religious denominational headquarters to where they ruled. By the way, that's why Paul, as a Pharisee, went to the synagogue, because he was one of those ruling religious people. Now watch this. Jesus didn't start a synagogue. He went to the temple and preached, and the priests were amazed. The temple was the permanent structure of the Old Testament tabernacle. It was a holy place. It was a place where God, where people would come and they would see the presence of God a short time every year. By the way, when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. He was our high priest. He conquered everything. By the way, that's why they got mad at him when he said, "Destroy this body, I'll destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." Yep. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It is the place where God dwells on earth. Jesus didn't say, "Upon this rock I'll build my temple." He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." The synagogue was not a place of worship. It was a religious ruling headquarters. The temple was a place where people brought things and they saw the presence of God. But Jesus fulfilled it. Don't get mad at me. I'm not saying that churches are wrong that call themselves the Baptist temple, but there's no such thing. That's an oxymoron. Everybody doing all right? Baptist church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Not temple. Not synagogue. Church. You ought to be a part of a church. Place to come to get encouragement. Thomas, one of the disciples, doubted because he missed church. Wonder how many things God has for you and you missed it by not being at church. By the way, Thomas missed Sunday night church and doubted Jesus for a week. That was one of the preachers. Everybody doing all right? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. I think you ought to be a part of it. If you've never been saved, guess what? We can take care of that right now. You can get saved. If you've been saved, never baptized, water's warm, baptistry clothes are here, we got everything you need. We'd love for you to join. If you've been coming and you want to line up with a radical, crazy, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist church, King James only, guess what? We invite you to come. I pull no punches. Let's seize what you got. I don't know about you. I'm glad I get to be a part of something Jesus started. Say, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? Dead. Ashamed. You think that's the only thing? It's the only thing Jesus started. Amen. Well, everybody talks about God. We all have same faith, just different direction. That's denominational hodgepodge garbage. That's right. Makes God vomit. That's right. Everybody doing all right? Oh, it's... The Buddhists and the Muslims, they all believe in God too. We just have a different name for him. No, it's Jehovah God. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's it. You ought to get saved. If you've been saved and not been baptized, obey him in your baptism. If you've been saved and baptized, you want to join the church, let's join the church. And let's start letting the world know we're not weak, they're the weak ones. They're the ones that have to keep going back to the drugs. Mm-hmm. They got to keep going back to the filth of the world. They're the ones ODing. They're the ones living like a bunch of filthy, vile animals. Matter of fact, worse than animals. Animals have better sense than the way man's living today. Wow. Maybe we're not the weak ones, huh? We're not. Don't worry. Say, well, what if you're wrong, preacher? Even if I'm wrong, guess what? World's a better place. Just so you know, I have the authority of the Word of God. I'm not wrong. I'm not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% for sure. I don't have any doubt at all that if I died, I would go to heaven because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I won't call you. I won't embarrass you. But who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Someone else? There's several of you. Thank you. In a moment, the music will play. When it does, if you just raised your hand, you come forward. If you're a lady, we'll let the lady take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll let a man take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Who'd say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized, and I need to take care of that." Would you raise your hand? All right, there's someone. All right. If you're over 18 or over, and you can do it. If you're under 18, we have to have mom and dad's permission. I believe in getting mom and dad's permission for minors. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and need to join the church. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to be faithful to church. A lot of advantages to a Baptist church.